Welcome to the Experience Points Podcast, episode number 18 for the week of March 25th, 2009. Podcast.
I'm George Albor.
I'm Scott Juster.
And we are the co-creators of experiencepoints.blogspot.com, a site dedicated to serious but not humorless analysis of video games and culture. And this week, Scott, what are we talking about?
We are talking about animals in games. Woo! Animals. So we happened upon this article from Kotaku, and they had picked it up from the Lowell Sun out in Lowell of
in sunny Massachusetts,
and there was a local high school has a club. It's called, what is it called?
Okay, it's a Catholic private high school.
Catholic private.
I think that's
school.
Important.
I don't know why we're not anti-papists over here. So the school's name is Academy of Notre Dame, and it has a club, an animal rights club on campus. And the leader of this club is
the leader, capital L, is named
Brianna Lucci, and she saw her little brother playing Call of Duty.
Her big brother.
Big brother.
Oh yeah, he's 20.
What? No way.
Yeah.
What?
It said he's 20.
Come on, hold on. No.
Yes.
Yes, you're right. What? How did my brain move that from older to younger?
I think it's because you presume that if she's going to have this attitude in the family relationship,
that she would be the protector. She would be like, looking out for him.
He's older than she is.
Oh my God, this is...
Okay.
This just got more... Okay, well, getting back on the rails here. She saw her brother, older brother,
yes,
playing Call of Duty World at War, a World War II game in which dogs attack you.
Yes.
And, well, you know, it's either you or the dog, so dogs end up getting capped. Let's just put it out there. She thought this was a pretty horrible thing because she likes animals a lot. She also has two Pomeranians.
Yeah, by the name of Fluffy and Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, Fluffy and Winnie the Pooh. And so she decided to start a petition at her high school about people protesting how animals are treated in this game. And then they're going to... And then they're going to send it to Activision. And then Bobby Kotick will just cry. He'll just cry himself to sleep on his bed of money.
So this is, it's just really funny.
We hate to be mean about it because, you know, she's in high school. This is like the Lowell Sun. I mean, you know, this is not, you know, it's not a huge journalistic outlet, and it's not someone that's on the forefront of either animal rights nor video game activism.
Right. I mean, and the problems are glaring, you know? These are dogs that are set out to killing you, and it's not necessarily part of the game, you know? It happens when it happens, and you've got to do it to survive, so...
So, just let's go through the article just a little bit, some highlights of the article. Yeah. The first paragraph I thought was pretty funny. I'll just quote it verbatim. Brianna Lucci knows her two Pomeranians, Fluffy and Winnie the Pooh, would not last 2 seconds in Call of Duty World at War, the immensely popular video game in which the animated gore piles high. I mean, first of all, like, just from a journalistic standpoint, I mean, what are you, like, writing in the 19th century here? Like, I mean, does something really need to be that sensationalistic when you start? Like, and, like, by the way, animated gore piles high. I know our systems are pretty powerful these days, but we don't have the RAM to allow gore to pile that high,
a foot max.
Yeah, I mean, even the PlayStation 3 can't push that many polys.
Well, really, I mean, even Call of Duty is not all that gory compared to, you know, some Mass Effect. What's the game?
Mad World. Yeah. Or Resident Evil. Gorier games. So I thought that was pretty funny. And then the other thing that they hope to forward it to the publisher is also pretty hilarious, I think, because I don't really think they understand how much money Activision makes from Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Activision has two studios working on this one franchise.
Constantly. So 100 people from a Catholic school, and none of these people buying the games.
Yeah.
I bet you easy that her brother still plays the game. She mentions later in the article, she says, My brother is a sweetheart. He won't be killing dogs after playing, but some people might.
Which is, this is actually kind of a serious point, because I don't know if this is a little bit much to be asking for a high school student, but if someone can't find the logical fallacy in there, or even reasoning by analogy, like, so, should no one be able to read Lolita? Because I won't start dating a 13-year-old, but someone might. George. You know, I mean, yeah. Like, I don't know if she's, like I said, I don't know if they have logic class there. I don't know if they have like some kind of argumentative, you know, curriculum right. there. But I mean, it's just not a sound argument to make.
Right. And I think part of this stems from how she views video games. And a lot of people view video games, which is actually very problematic. And that's the sense that games are meant to be fun, nonstop fun. Everything you do is for the enjoyment.
Yeah.
So she says killing dogs in Call of Duty is wrong because you're doing it for enjoyment. Yeah. Over and over again, you're getting pleasure from killing dogs. Yeah. That's not the way it is. I mean, the game is fun, and those dogs add to the fun because they raise the tension. Mm-hmm. But removed from the rest of the game, that in and of itself is not fun.
It's not like you're just playing like Dog Killer 64, exactly, where you're just like a dog pops up and you shoot it because that's the point of the game.
I mean, two things. Ideally, you never meet those dogs. Yeah. You would love it if those dogs never showed up. Oh, secondly, as far as I know, the dogs in Call of Duty World at War are replacing the helicopter barrage mechanic from the previous Call of Duty.
Yeah.
And this is something that you get in like multiplayer games.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the multiplayer battle, some of those dogs are on your side, right? So you could potentially say the dogs are being really helpful while they're being, you know, bad in another segment.
Yeah.
But I think it just connects to this idea that people have this theory that video games are fun nonstop all the time, and it's not necessarily the case. You know, like, you can enjoy a really scary movie, doesn't mean killing people is fun or that you enjoy that aspect of
it. Yeah, that's true. We shouldn't be able to watch Jason movies because, you know, we might start stalking people with machetes. Yeah. But it's something that we also touched upon in a earlier podcast that we recorded about violent games. And it's not the violence. The violence isn't an end. The violence is a means. Right. You know, the violence is a means to creating a larger
mood or tone.
Yeah, you're right. A larger mood or a larger tone. It's a tool that creates a more unified experience. It's not just there to be fun. It's there to convey something.
Right.
It's just something that just smacks of a person that doesn't play a lot of video games or enjoy them very much.
Yeah, well, she's too busy taking care of her Pomeranian.
Yeah, making sure that they don't find themselves on a World War II battlefield.
By the way, Germans used guard dogs.
People have used animals in war since animals have been domesticated. Okay. I mean, it's not...
To this day. Pigeons were used in World War II.
Yeah, it's not something new or shocking, hopefully. Yeah. God, it's so weird that he's 20 and she's the one, like...
I bet he's laughing his ass off.
Yeah.
He probably reads Kotaku.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder what their parents say, you know?
I don't know. I mean, the guy is clearly an adult. I mean, this game costs $60.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like he's a 7-year-old kid doing this. You know, and, you know, by the way, we have to trot out the fact again that there's been no conclusive evidence that there is any link between violent video games and inspiring people to commit violent acts.
And also, Call of Duty World at War is rated M for mature and should not be in the hands of anybody under 17 without parental, you know,
supervision or decision. Exactly. So, I mean, it's just kind of a silly little article and, you know, well, here's the other thing about animals.
Yeah.
Does she not care that in Call of Duty you're killing literally hundreds of people?
I mean, I guess you could say those people chose to be there, therefore their life is forfeit.
I mean, that's the other weird thing about, and this is just about animal rights activists in general and people who criticize video games for odd reasons. Like, I would have more respect for this argument if she had approached it from a perspective of humans.
Yep.
Because I, you know, and this is just my bias, my human-centric bias coming through.
Yeah.
Yeah. People always accuse me of a human-centric bias all the time. I just love those humans. I just think it's a little worse to be murdering people than animals. And so I could see someone being more offended by a war game because you're mowing down enemy soldiers rather than enemy dogs.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to bother her. I always find that highly amusing when someone talks about that. Like, forget about the human soldiers that you're destroying. Yeah. Like, we're here. Someone think of the dogs.
Yeah. Well, to broaden the topic, to discuss animals in general, I guess, well, you've got some things to talk about, but before we get to that, what do you think about the Cooking Mama controversy?
Oh, yeah, with PETA.
Yeah, so PETA came out with a cooking, what was it called? Cooking Mama Kills Animals, I think
it was
called.
Yeah, something like that. And it had like a bloodthirsty looking
cooking mama. Mama, like with a turkey that looked very frightened.
Yeah.
And the game was a game also, which is really cool. I think that the fact that it was a game and I actually played it and it was actually pretty fun, used as a way to critique the Cooking Mama franchise for not, you know, having vegetarian things as often.
Yeah.
You know,
so. I think that's, I mean, if you're gonna level a criticism at a video game, I think it's pretty cool to use a video game in order to do that.
Yeah, I would love to work for PETA as their like video game lead designer.
Exactly. They had to shop that out to someone. I bet whoever made that game might have thought about what a weird meta thing he was doing while they were creating that game, because you're critiquing, I mean, I don't really like PETA that much. I think they're kind of, I do believe that there are certain ethics that one should abide to when choosing food.
Yes.
I just don't agree with their methods.
Sure.
Yeah. But as far as criticizing a video game by making a video game, I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
I wish people would do that more often. Like, I wish Kojima would criticize Jonathan Blow by making a game about, you know, what he disagrees with Braid, and then they could go back and forth. Like, that'd be so cool.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
Because it'd be like scholarly discourse using the medium by which you communicate your ideas.
You do get that a little bit, but anyway, that's too off topic.
Yeah, that's so. I don't know. I didn't play the PETA game, but I mean, I think that's a pretty cool thing. Is Cooking Mama mainly? Is it mainly meat-based things?
They have a lot of meat. The first one was. Uh-huh. I think the sequel that they're coming out with, or the that they already came out with, I don't know.
They could do, like, vegetarian expansion packs and stuff.
I'm surprised that they don't have a vegetarian one in particular. And I think it actually worked out really well because, you know, I don't know who makes Cooking Mama off the top of my head, but they responded to PETA and they said, you know, it was a PR thing, of course, but it was like, Cooking Mama loves her animal friends and she'd never harm a dog, and she understands that some people are vegetarians, so she's got lots of vegetarian options, you know, and it you know, was a marketing tool, and it mentioned, you know, future games will have an increasing number of vegetarian options, but it was just kind of cool, you know, that they responded in kind, so
that they weren't just ignoring it or they dismissing just
ignoring it.
So you want to talk about other instances in which you encounter animals in video games?
Sure, yeah. I mean,
broaden it a little bit.
Thinking way back, and I think the first animal that I remember in video games, and I think everyone can probably agree with me here, is that stupid dog from Duck Hunt. And I'm pretty...
If only we could shoot that dog.
If only we could shoot him. I know there's an emulator with the mod that lets you shoot the dog afterwards. And I don't think that Duck Hunt would be remembered in the slightest if it wasn't for that damn dog. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. It's that, you know, that
jerk. Yeah, oh,
but
man.
But that's a funny one. I mean, I was barely talking. I don't even know if I was talking when that game came out. So
probably not. I don't know.
I don't know how much
early you got an NES. But I mean, it's weird how iconic that thing is.
Yeah.
And it's an animal. And it's also weird because you're killing other animals in it.
Yeah.
But this, you know, he's complicit in helping you gather up the bodies and stuff, and he has more personality than anything else in the game.
Yeah, exactly. It's really weird. So Duck Hunt is interesting. I did play that a lot, and you know, I grew up in a rural area, so I hunted animals occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was fun. I never equated killing those ducks with killing real ducks.
Yeah.
And at this point, I've been, you know, pescatarian for the past 5 years now, so I still wouldn't do it now. But you know, it's interesting.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, you got any memorable animals?
Oh, man. Well, of course, Duck Hunt. There's always, it seems like a lot of games do the dog angle, because, you know, dogs have the idea of being loyal and stuff.
You know, I think one of it is, I think animals are a little hard to pull off. You know? Because it's an AI that doesn't have any real purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's easier to program, you know, a human being who says, you know, you find a gun, you shoot at person A, you shoot at person B. Mm-hmm. How do you put in that type of, you know, behavior that's good for a dog?
How did Fable do it? Because I didn't, Fable 2, I mean, because I didn't play Fable 2.
I thought they did the dog fantastic. So there was the dog would consistently run in front of you. And he'd, like, look behind and make sure that you're following. And it felt like you were going with a real dog.
That's how dogs actually are. Yeah.
They're really playful, you know. The dog would bark and lead you over to places when he smelled certain things. And it was, I thought, I really connected with the dog. And I know a lot of other people did, too.
Mm.
you know, at one point someone kicks the dog, so I just kill the entire town. It's that vengeance. Like, don't dare touch my dog.
This student would be proud of that.
Yeah.
You're protecting that dog. Yeah.
I actually think that Fable 2 is probably the best animal simulation that I've ever seen.
Hmm. Did you ever get the dog in Fallout 3?
I didn't. I never found him.
Hmm. It's so crazy.
Dog
that,
meat?
Yeah, that the game could be that huge that you would never even find your dog.
Yeah.
And then, again, this is another dog example, but remember the original Resident Evil?
Mm-hmm.
When you're walking through that hallway and there's windows on the side of you, and it lets you go through that hallway, and then all of a sudden a dog jumps through the window, crashes through, and starts attacking you.
Yeah.
Man, that was terrifying. That was
terrifying.
Yeah.
That's the role that animals, I think, usually fill in video games.
Yeah.
There's about probably two versions of the animal. One is just the animal that fights you.
Yeah.
And that ranges from anything from, you know, Parasite Eve, like the first creature you fight is a rat that becomes unmutated,
mm-hmm.
You know, to wild wildebeest or, you know, wild monsters that are pretty much animals that attack you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, World of Warcraft, for some reason, angry bears, angry like elk, angry eagles, animals will attack you left and right.
See, animals are pissed off in World of Warcraft.
Yeah, it's actually rare that animals are friendly to you, I think, in video games.
Yeah.
That might be a programming issue.
Yeah. In Metal Gear, there's lots of animals. And throughout the series, actually, there's been rats, there's been ravens. In Metal Gear 3, there's a bunch of different things. There's snakes, there's frogs. There was a lot of animals implemented in Metal Gear 3, and you could eat them to regain health, but you had to make sure that, you know, like some would sting you or some would try to attack you and stuff like that. So, like, they weren't malicious. They would only attack you if you got too close to them. They were much more, in my mind, how animals would actually act because you were in the wild.
Didn't they also implement something in Metal Gear where if you scared off pigeons, the guards might notice?
Yeah, if the animals make a lot of noise or if you rustle the leaves or something, you know, you can distract them. I think it was one of the few examples that tries to walk a middle path down the two categories that you described, because they weren't just there to attack you and they weren't just there to help you out.
Right. They're just,
they were just animals kind of hanging out, and you could just leave them alone if you wanted to. You could just keep on going unless you needed some health and then you wanted to stab them.
Yeah. It's weird that I think it'd be really interesting to study the portrayal of animals in video games and whether or not that matches with how we kind of understand animals in our culture.
Because,
you know, we don't interact with animals nearly as much as we normally do.
Especially where we live, in
an urban environment.
I mean, maybe some people in a more rural environment.
Yeah, I mean, squirrels, rabbits, you know, but it's not... It's just weird because in video games it almost seems that the animals don't exist, or if they do, there's a weirdly large number of them and they interact with people on a much larger basis.
It's symptomatic of our modern view of looking at nature as a utility. Like if the animals do exist in a game, it's for a purpose.
Right.
You know, they're not just there to be there. They're there to serve some function.
Yeah.
You know, they're there to gather up your ducks or to hunt out treasure for you or to attack you. I mean, they're not just there to exist in the environment that you're walking through.
Yeah.
For the most part, with some games being the notable exception, like the Metal Gear series, I would say.
Yeah, or even, you know, I'd even say Fable 2. The fact that the dog behaves in that way makes you feel that if you were not there in the world, that dog would continue to exist. And that's not something that I think you get that feeling from in other animals.
Mm.
You know, say something like Oblivion, where, you know, you ride a horse into battle, or, you know, Dynasty Warriors, all of those things. It's just a vehicle. They're an older version of a vehicle. They have no personality. They even rarely make noise.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about their lodgings. You know.
You don't have to worry about feeding them. Yeah. You're right. They're just, they might as well be bikes or trucks or something.
Yeah. Like, they're pretty much motorcycles.
Yeah.
That move slower.
Remember playing Shadow of the Colossus, and for a while I was thinking of Aggro the horse in that sense.
Yeah.
And then I realized as I was riding around the field more in that game that it felt way more like a horse than any other horse I'd ever used in a video game, because he kind of had a mind of its own. Like if you stopped controlling it, it would still run and move around. Like it wouldn't just run straight into a wall. It would kind of drift around and take a look at the terrain and stuff.
Yeah, and it would stop as if it was frightened of the ledges.
Yeah,
I remember.
Exactly.
And I think, well, one of the things, too, is that's the, as far as I remember, that's the only thing that has a name in that game.
Yeah.
You're not given a name. The girl you're waiting for is never given a name. No one says it. There's no talking.
That's true.
Except for you saying, aggro!
Yeah.
And he shows up.
Yeah.
And he's always trustworthy. So, you know, spoiler alert, when he falls off of the cliff, tragedy.
Yeah. Right?
Because I imbued that character with as much meaning as I could possibly do in that.
Because it's the only thing to really connect with.
I mean, when you're in a world that's that, you know, immense, and you want to try to have some sense of meaning that you carry with you, you imbue that into your animal.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think that's actually why some animals are successful in other video games, even when they are just utilitarian. Mm-hmm. Like something like Nintendogs, I think, is partly successful because we imbue the animal with so much of how we want it to behave.
Yeah.
Like, we know that it's digital, but we have so much meaning in it.
And plus, well, and also, I think it's, I think that is one of the reasons why it's popular, but I think the other reason is that, and this goes even further down the path of utilitarianism, if it's not being useful to you, you can just close your DS and it's done. If a puppy's not being useful to you, you still have to clean up its crap and like buy a new couch once it rips it up. Like, I mean, there's a certain amount of control you still have over the animal if you can just close the screen and it's done.
Yeah, that control idea is really funny. But I think it's it's definitely a dichotomy as I see it, right? Mm. You've got, on one hand, animals that are just useful for you, but I think that's where they fail in that portrayal of an animal. Because if you could have them be useful, like the horse aggro or the dog in Fable 3, but at the same time imbue them with meaning, and sometimes that just means you're asking that of your participant.
Yeah.
Take something like World of Warcraft, right, where hunters get pets, or individuals can find pets that don't do anything, they're just kind of like trinkets.
Yeah, they just hang around.
I find that hunters, and you know, when I was playing a hunter and other hunters that I've interacted with, really love their pets, the ones that they use for battle. And even if the stats will get lower, they want to use that one. You know, people send forum posts about, please make this certain species of pet stronger because I don't want to get rid of mine.
Oh yeah.
You know, they want the game to change around the personality that they've imbued within their pet. It's pretty cool, you know? And I think you see the same thing in Pokemon, which is essentially enslaving, you know, creatures. Oh, man,
Pokemon is a really weird thing. I mean, so what's the point of Pokemon? It's to capture animals.
Yeah, every single one. All of them.
Gotta catch them all. And then battle them against each other.
Yeah, they're like matadors. You're like a matador.
you're like a dog fighter is what you are. Like, you're not fighting a Pokemon. You're like setting them against each other.
Yeah. And you're taking them out of the wild habitat.
Yeah.
Enclosing them in a small ball.
Yeah, man, I wonder what it's like inside.
And then it's cool. Chimchar, get in the ball. The other weird thing, it's very obvious that the Pokemon do not enjoy the battles. They get hurt, you know?
Yeah.
They faint. They pass out.
Yeah.
They get knocked unconscious. That's not cool. They don't enjoy that. When they get zapped, it's probably not a good thing, you know?
I guess I've never heard anyone protesting Pokemon. Maybe it's just because it's fantastic. Maybe it's fictional characters and no one really...
You know, even in the...
Who will think of the Pikachus?
Well, that's the weird thing, too, because they admit to the sense of personality in Pokemon because Pikachu would never get in his ball. He would refuse.
Yeah, that's
and so
true.
In the first game, he always just tagged along with you,
yeah.
right? But the other Pokemon still went in the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Pikachu didn't like it. The other Pokemon probably didn't like it either, but they didn't have a choice because Pikachu was your Pokemon. That's the dude that you had with you the entire game.
Pikachu is the one that gets the special treatment.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. And then, you know, the fact that the society is based upon this, everything that is going on in the Pokemon world is built off of Pokemon.
We need to start a petition.
Nintendo? What the hell?
I think we can get 100 people. Send it to Mr. Iwata.
Yeah.
Stop probably. Making games right now. close that money factory down. Yeah. All right. Well, I think we've ragged on them enough for today. What do you think?
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting. I mean, like, we really do take animals for granted in a lot of ways. I mean, they show up in a lot of games and they have a variety of uses, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because
games aren't just mean to them. You know, like, they're more complicated than that.
I think more than any other NPC, or I guess, I mean, NPC that's not a human being, any other factor in a video game that's part of the world, you know, because really the animals make up part of the world. They really, I think, they ask the player to create meaning for them because you already get that, you know, people have so much feelings towards animals already.
Yeah.
Dogs, cats. I mean, partly why that girl was offended by the dogs.
She felt strongly about it.
Yeah, she sees her Pomeranians in those German shepherds.
And she superimposes what's happening in the video game on top of the animals that she enjoys having around in her real life. So, you know, it's understandable, but, you know, somewhat misguided, I would say.
Yep.
Speaking of shooting dogs, I think we have to go play Resident Evil 5. What
yes,
do you
do.
Think?
Yeah. I think it's about time.
So we'll wrap that up right now. If you want to share your thoughts on animals and games or about anything else we write about or talk about in the podcast, send your emails to experiencepoints@gmail.com.
Also, we encourage you to leave your comments on any of our posts and this podcast at our website, experiencepoints.blogspot.com. Tell your friends.
Yeah.
We update Monday, Wednesday, and Friday evenings.
All right. Until next time, be nice to those animals, folks. Yes. Have fun.
Have fun. Bye-bye.
Every time we disagree.